How are we starting this? Should we have some sort of intro or just sort of launch straight into it?
The Webcomics Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Welcome to the Webcomics Company Podcast. I'm Zoe Kirk-Robinson, and I've got with me three fantastic webcomic people from across Europe. Let's introduce ourselves.
Yeah, I'm James Spence, and I have a webcomic called Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Luke Healy, and I make the comic Swanee Nook, and it's available at swanneenook.com.
I'm Luke Sell, and I have a webcomic called LukeSearle.com, and that's spelt as if it was LukesURL.com.
And you can find me at Life of Nobty Mouse at nobmouse.net, All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net, and the Webcomic Builder at webcomicbuilder.com.
Hurrah!
Hooray!
That sounded not too bad, and almost we're getting to professional. And
very professional.
And it was only our fourth take as well. It's boding well for the rest of this podcast.
You wouldn't have thought I'd been practicing that in the bath all morning, would you?
Right, so,
Luke,
shall we
did you guys listen back?
Yes, yeah. Luke, you put up a thread on the Webcomic List forums, didn't you, asking about how to start webcomics and whether people had any tips, or was that something else?
That was to do with this. The exact thread that I put up was, if you could go back in time and give yourself one piece of advice before you started webcomics, what would it be?
That was the one. I couldn't remember. Yes, but time travel, eh? I like that.
Yes. So I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, that nobody put up a message that was like, don't make webcomics. So apparently people are happy with their choices, at least in the large.
You're not going to get people saying don't make webcomics. That's like asking drug addicts, would you say to anyone not to try this? Of course not. Most of the people would say, well, it's not doing me any harm. It's only the ones that are embittered and have gone off to rehab that you would get that answer from. The rest of us addicts, we're still here.
I think we're going to have to start some sort of webcomics rehab just for that situation.
I can see that working. We've got a five-step program. First of all, you've got to put down the pencil, step away, don't pick it back.
Take off your webcomic-related t-shirts.
You say this, but I did this thing where I did a 24-hour comic, and what it is, I actually produced 26 single-panel comics in 24 hours, and that was all of it. I thought, right, what I'm going to do now, is I'm just going to take a month off, so I can use all of those. And it was really, really bad. I felt like I had withdrawal symptoms after a while for not posting something up. I was like, do I even exist as a person if I'm not creating this webcomic? So it is harder to give up than you think. I think the biggest thing that worries me is if one day I stopped and then just nobody cared and it was like, oh
yeah. Oh, that would be crushing.
It wasn't a big thing after all. After all,
we care, Luke.
I actually did that. I was doing the Life of Nobty Mouse from 96 and then all the way up to 99 in occasional bouts, and then I stopped to go to university and no one noticed. So
there was nobody else at 99.
Yeah, you can come back from it, but it's difficult.
Alright, so I think that we said in the emails that the general theme of this podcast would be getting started. So maybe we should go around to each other and say how we got started in webcomics and why, and were we sober?
Sounds good. Let's do it alphabetically again so we can keep an idea of what we're doing. And that's right. I get to think about it longest.
Damn you.
Are you sure you don't mean reverse alphabetical order?
Oh no, don't put me on the spot.
Oh well, I suppose we should stick to the plan. Well, I guess that means that I'm going first. My webcomic days started in 1998 when I was just recently discovered the internet, and I had a little website which was just a weekly thing where I would sort of post kind of humorous stories and things like that on there. And I was trying out lots of different styles, like sometimes it'd be poems and sometimes it'd be lists and just all sorts of weird stuff. So eventually comics became one of the ideas that I thought I'd try out. So I printed off a kind of blank template and just wrote at the top of it, Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark, and started drawing stuff. I'd loving it onto the page. And then, just like Luke was saying there, I ended up with 15 of them, and I just posted them one a week for the next 15 weeks. And people were responding better to the comic than they were to anything else that I'd done. So I was kind of hooked after that and just kept going with it. And it went through various iterations, and I started and stopped it numerous times, lots of hiatuses. Eventually, around about sort of 2001, I think it was, I just stopped altogether and went on to other projects. I then took the longest hiatus I've ever taken, which was about 5 or 6 years, and then eventually decided to come back with a completely different take on it, thought about what the characters were all about, and just completely revised it from there. And never really looked back since, to be honest.
It's interesting that you mentioned that you got the bug. It is kind of like a performing bug, isn't it? You get hooked on the reader response. Because I remember when I was doing drama at school, and we'd write plays and then we'd perform them, and it was always the buzz that you got from the applause afterward that really made me want to keep going. And I think webcomics are something like that as well.
Yeah, you definitely do get kind of hooked when, I think it's when people kind of respond really favourably. In fact, just any sort of comments that you get from people, it's nice to kind of know that your work is either being appreciated or at least being noticed in some way.
Yeah,
and also, you know, people, especially if you kind of get encouraging things as well, like if your artwork's kind of improving or your writing's improving, you know, it's nice enough to kind of feel that in yourself, but when other people are actually recognising that and seeing that they've spotted that you're kind of doing things better as well, I think it really does sort of egg you on and keep you going.
Definitely.
Definitely. It's just the best feeling when you get someone who's like, oh, I really, you know, I love the new comic. Like, oh my God, I love the new comic. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I think it's you now, Luke.
Cool. Well, I suppose that I had kind of read a few webcomics. One of my friends in school started webcomics years and years ago, so I used to read his, and it was horrible, but at the time I thought it was amazing, of course. So I never really had considered doing anything of my own. I used to be really into making animations and flash animations and stuff like that and putting that online, and they were also horrible. So I suppose that what really happened was I found the webcomic Dresden Kodak, and I thought it was just like the coolest thing ever, and I got kind of hooked on it, you know, waiting for the next update and stuff. And as if you read the comic, you'll know he doesn't update too often.
He updated today. It was it's one of these things that happens every couple of months or so. It's a big event on the internet.
I know. I would say there's a lot of tweets going around about that. But yeah, so I started my first comic. And I put that online just over a year ago. And I worked on that for about a year. That was mostly one-page jokes and things that I thought were funny at the time. And some of them I still think are funny. But after about a year of it, I got a little bored, to be honest, and I was contemplating just kind of quitting on it. But then I decided, no, I'm going to start a new comic. And ever since I started my new comic, I have been in love with making webcomics, and I hopefully won't stop for quite a long time.
Excellent. I thought you'd been around longer than that doing it, look, to be honest.
No, I put my first comic online in July of 2009.
Ah, wow. Right, wow.
Yeah, so I just a few months ago, hit my first year anniversary. It was quite a celebration. There was cake.
Is it so, me now? Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, LukeSell.com is actually the third iteration of sort of me doing roughly the same sort of thing, which is mostly single panel jokes and short things without any continuity or so. I think this is fairly common, but it started out as sort of a project with a friend. What I've been doing is I'd just, I think I'd read a whole load of Peanuts, basically, and I'd started just doodling a few things and just sort of showing them to a few friends. Then one of my friends decided, these are okay, but they're all black and white, and he decided to colour them in, and he was fairly web literate. And this was back in about 2004, 2005 or so, and he'd sort of got us a sort of a slot on one of these free hosting sites. And for about 2 or 3 months, we had this little thing online, which I think was read by about 6 people, 2 of them being us. But it was quite fun, and eventually I took over doing the colouring as well, and it sort of became the What About Me. But then that eventually got hacked into and destroyed. So there is actually no trace of that on the internet, which is possibly quite a good thing, because it wasn't very good. And then I went off to university, and I started drawing pictures for the our little college magazine, which then meant that I actually had quite a few things which went into print before they went onto the internet, which is really a little bit the wrong way round these days, it seems. And I had one thing which lasted for about 6 months, which was okay. And then towards the last year, I tried to do it seriously. And that's when the current iteration has. And that's lasted a little over 2 years now. And that's, yeah, so basically it was a little bit of encouragement from a friend, a little bit of support doing some of the things that I wasn't quite able to do. And yeah, it kicked off. It was great.
Brilliant. So when it was you and your friend doing it, presumably it wasn't called Luke Searle at that point.
It was called 1,000 Words, which is actually quite a... I thought that was quite a good name for a comic about a sort of single panel comics. And back then, 1000words.com was available, and I was stupid enough not to register it. But within about 6 or 7 months, somebody had snapped it up for some photography blog or whatever.
Lame.
So if that hadn't happened, I would. That's what it would be called, and it's still filed in my computer under 1,000 words as in the file names. So that's sort of what I called it myself.
And your book that you put out was called 32,000 words, wasn't it?
Or is it 36,000 words?
36,000.
Yeah. That's sort of a reference to those 4 people who were reading it back in the idea that there was 36 comics in the book, and so 36 times 1,000 is math.
Yeah, I remember thinking that was like super clever when I heard it, so bravo.
So when you got your site hacked into, then I take it you had copies of everything still backed up elsewhere.
Yeah, just the sort of the structure of the site. And I sort of used that as a cue to go, because I was a bit tired of it then, and it was just me. It wasn't me and a friend doing it as a sort of fun project together. I sort of let that be the end of it for about a year.
Ah, right, right. Yeah, because my sort of first iteration of comics, like, that's not online anymore. I kind of couldn't stand to look at it now, so I kind of took it down altogether. And so the version of Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark that's currently there is like the version from 2007 until it finished, which was last year. So, yeah, I don't know. There's something about having those early archives. I know some people love having them and some people don't. And I have to say, I couldn't face looking at my own work.
You can find a select few on my website now, and sort of hidden away in a small but accessible corner, but they are a select few that aren't absolutely abysmal. Zoe, how did you start off with that? Was it Novelty Mouse was the first one, right?
It was, yes. The Life of Novelty Mouse. It actually started because I was bored while revising for some exams. I needed time off for my physics, so I started drawing these pictures of characters that I'd had since I was about 8 years old. I've actually... Did you ever see those, you know, those Top Trumps cards?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, my friends used to play that a lot, and I made my own with little characters that I'd made up. And the characters have sort of hung around since then, and eventually I put them into the comic because I was bored. And I had a few family members living overseas at the time, and I thought, well, I wanted them to be able to see these pictures. And one of my friends had a website with a bit of web space free, so he put them up online for me. And that would be in December 1996. So it's quite early, and I'd never even heard of webcomics at the time. I wasn't even online. So we put them up there, and I just kept updating it. And then when he took them down, because he wanted the space for something else, I got myself a tripod website, because it was free, and put them up there instead. And I've basically been there ever since. Although I do have my own web server now. But I took a time off at the end... No, I'm not at the end. In the middle of 99, to go to university. And it ended up being about 7 years until I updated it again. So it's a really old webcomic that's not one of the longest running, paradoxically, but it kind of works. And I really enjoy that one, but it's never going to be a really big comic because it's weird. So my wife and I put together a new comic which is more gag-a-day and more accessible. And we've been running that. It's coming up for 2 years soon. So that's going quite well as well.
Oh, brilliant. It sounds like your story is kind of similar to mine in that it was also sort of something that I took a big hiatus from when I went to university and then took that big long gap from as well.
Yeah.
And likewise, I found that the reason I kind of stopped Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark was because it was so weird, and it's very difficult to get the idea of what it's about across to people very quickly. I certainly started Girls in Space just so that I could, you know, it's the name really explains everything you need to know about the comics.
That it is a very descriptive title. I think you're right there. If you can't explain the concept very quickly, most people won't be interested. Because it would require a bit of reading and a bit of effort to try and understand it. And when you don't have any idea what this thing is, and you don't even know if you're going to like it, I ain't going to put that effort in. So it's what they call an elevator pitch. If you can pitch it to someone in the time it takes to get from one place to another in a lift, then you're fine. If you can't, then you're going to be in a bit of trouble. Unless you're...
So I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
Unless, of course, it's just your second or third strip and you're already popular because of your other one, then you can probably do your more arts house, harder to get into strips. But I kind of did it the wrong way around.
Yeah, well, I think I did exactly the same. So.
When you're world famous, Zoe, we'll be able to say, yeah, we knew her edgy stuff before it was cool.
Yeah, like that's going to happen. When am I going to be world famous for? It's probably not going to be something that I did on purpose.
So, from the sounds of it, it seems like all four of us have, in one way or another, been dissatisfied with our earlier work. Is that fair to say?
With me, definitely, yes.
They're definitely in hindsight, I think so, yeah.
I agree to an extent. I mean, Knob Mouse is something that I would still draw regardless of whether it was going to be popular or not. I like the characters. Some of the earlier stuff I think is not quite as good as it should have been, and perhaps that's part of the problem with it, but I wouldn't say I dislike it. I still like it. It's just, it's never going to really go anywhere.
Yeah, I feel with certainly the early phase of Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark, I think I like looking back on it for the, you know, from the point of view that it's got a lot of good memories for me from having put it up at the time, but I just cringe when I look at it now. Like the style that I drew it in initially was, you know, I just put it down on pencil, scanned it in pencil. It just looks so horrible, like virtually unreadable. All the text on it, and oh, it's disgusting. I'll have to post one at some point just to demonstrate what it looks like. But I went through so many phases with it, developing it, that, you know, when I came back in 2007, I was a lot happier just with the character designs and just the. Basically, I came up with a kind of storyline for it to explain who the characters were and what it was all about. But, I think there was missing ingredients in the early versions of it.
But at the same time, if you hadn't done the early work, you wouldn't be where you were when you came back. So I think to a certain extent... There's a lot to say about just practicing and getting things down there. And even if you do make mistakes, at least later on you know it's a mistake and you can move on.
Yeah, well, I think, there is that sort of rite of passage, you know, I think you have to make the mistakes early on in order to learn from them. And I think when you're cutting your teeth on your first webcomic, it's probably as good a place as any to do it, because you will have an opinion on what it looks like, but you'll also have an audience kind of chipping in and saying, you know, maybe that doesn't work quite as well, or this doesn't work quite as well, or maybe they'll be a bit more vocal than that.
Yeah, but
it's sometimes quite hard when you're starting out, because when you do your very first thing and you're very putting it online, you can be incredibly, maybe this was just me, but you can be incredibly proud of, look at this is brilliant. And then when somebody says, yeah, you really need to learn how to do that perspective thing, and like, no, this is brilliant. This is the greatest artwork anything you've ever seen. And if you don't think it's brilliant, then you are clearly a moron.
And then you come back in 5 years' time and go, you know, he was right.
Yeah.
That does seem to be a common attitude that people have. And yet, I find it something that I think is really interesting is that, especially, you know, hanging around on the webcomic list forums and reading a lot of the new comics people post there, is that new people who are new to webcomics make a lot of the same mistakes. So, you know, things like, poor lettering, bad scans. There's just so many things that people do wrong.
There is.
Yeah.
There are books out there that will tell you how to scan well and how to draw well, but until you've actually tried it yourself, it doesn't always click in, and I think that's the reason why people make the same mistakes again and again, regardless of how much research they've done on it.
I think as well there's an element of, because you've not done it before and you're just putting something on the line, you don't always think the next few steps ahead. So like when you're scanning it, for example, you might just scan it just so that it's at the right size for displaying on your web page. But if you eventually wanted to do anything more with it, like put it in a book or something, you really need to have it at a much higher resolution.
That's a massive thing. Always remember to scan at 300 or 600 DPI.
You mean 72 DPI isn't good enough for everything?
Maybe if your book was going to be 1 inch wide by 1 inch tall.
That sounds good. I'll market that. Pocket webcomic.
Commemorative webcomic postage stamps.
That's what I call a mini comic.
You know, that sounds like a good idea. I bet no one's doing that. I know in America you can get your own stamps made up.
Not really?
Yeah. I've had a few postcards from people in America who have got their own little designs on their stamps. I wonder whether Royal Mail would ever move into that, because if they did, I'd certainly get some little Knob Mouse ones done with just like his eyes and nose looking through. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice touch. definitely, yeah. To have, if you're, you know, if you're ordering something. I know I ordered something from, I don't know if you know him, probably, Mark Ellerby.
Who does, I've got one of his books right in arm's length here, right now.
They're so good, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. He used to do the webcomic Ellerbisms, and now he is doing lots of things, including a series of comics called Chloe Noonan Monster Hunter, and they're so good, and I encourage everybody to get them.
I do know the name, yes. I'm terrible with names, but I can remember what people do. So it's quite difficult, especially if I meet people in real life. So, you seem to know me. Who are you? Oh, you're from... What's it? Yeah, now I know who you are.
Oh my God, that happened to me. But that's another story.
It's terrible.
But when I ordered something from him, I got it, and it had the envelope had like stickers and stuff on it of just his characters, and I just thought that was a really... I don't know, it was like a nice touch to add something maybe a little more personal to the package. Just thought it was a good idea. So maybe stamps are a good idea. Who knows?
I'd love it. If they're all mailed in, I'd have them straight away because it personalises the package. And just like you said, yeah. I'm always tempted, if I was going to package up some books and send them out, just to draw a little picture on the envelope, and then Jen keeps telling me that would take up far too much time and I should actually get on with some proper work. But I like the idea of personalising the package.
While we're on him, this is one thing, I think we mentioned this in Podcast Zero, but the one thing when starting out a webcomic is probably not best to assume that you're going to be incredibly financially successful very quickly and have a big store which is selling lots and lots and lots of items to the audience you're sure that you're going to get within 3 days or so.
Unless you're famous for something else, people aren't going to pay that much attention until you've got a decent set of archives, because otherwise they can't see what you're doing or where you're going. So plan ahead. Think big, but keep your eyes on what you're actually doing and stay small for the moment. That's pretty much what anyone in business will tell you. Think big, aim small.
Yes, I think that's definitely a good piece of advice, in that it's a mistake that you don't have to make to learn from it. People can just tell you, don't try to sell things straight away.
Yeah, so I've got 2 strips up. I'm going to make some shirts about them. No. For a start, you've got your logo on it and nothing else. Well, no one cares. Your main character isn't iconic enough for people to want to wear a shirt from them. And you have no idea what you're doing. Because your first comic says, hi, this is a web comic. And then the second one is talking about the mystery update. So...
Yeah, I think this is probably the, when I was sort of thinking about it, almost everything I could think of, the best thing to do when starting out a webcomic is to draw your webcomic. It's to actually just, because that's how you get better at drawing, that's how you get better at writing, is to just keep on making it. And also having comics and not missing your updates is just the bread and butter of making webcomics. It sounds incredibly obvious, but I think a lot of people seem to focus so much on the periphery. I think the webcomics.com people refer to this as a sort of cargo cult syndrome, where yes, people look at what successful comics do in the same way that people looked at the American servicemen coming over and then tried to imitate what they do without actually doing the main thing that makes a comic successful, which is the comic.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that maybe a lot of people want kind of to be part of the club, you know, to be a webcomic artist or a webcomic creator. And what a lot of people, you know, they try to jump in and they want it to be exactly like the established comics. But what they don't realize is maybe that, you know, to be a webcomic creator or a webcomic artist, you have to create and draw a webcomic.
Yeah, you've got to look at it from the point of view of if webcomics were bands, you can't start off with t-shirt sales and album sales without having the music to put on the album and all the years of training that comes from learning the instrument to play. You've got to sit down and actually learn the skills of drawing, and you do that by drawing your comic.
Yeah, I think it's one absolute... Well, if I'm going to I'm not really in any position of authority to give rules, but I wouldn't do any promotion of your site. In fact, I'd possibly not even provide links to things until you have 10 updates. Would that seem a good number?
At least 10.
Yeah.
I tend to tell people go for 20 to 30 because it gives people, well, it gives yourself a better chance to round out your characters for a bit after a bit of practice. But it also gives people more of a chance to actually know where you're going with the thing.
But, a lot of people post on things like the check out my comics forum on the webcomic list. I've seen it, people have sort of two comics, and then you can give no form of criticism whatsoever because yes, there's nothing there. So that is one rule. If I'm going to give one, if I'm going to say one rule, that's the one I'll go for.
Yeah, unless your first couple of comics are hilarious and you've produced the ultimate in comic artwork, then yeah, okay, because we can see that you know what you're doing. Until then, it's like, come on, man. Give us something to work with. I mean, have you seen that webcomic Smuff? It's one page.
Yes.
I love that. I use it as an example all the time. It's either something that a guy put up really enthusiastic about webcomics and forgot about, or it's the ultimate in really, really succinct storytelling. And I'm not sure.
Can you put a link on the webcomics.co website?
Yes, I can, if I can find it. I know it's on TV Tropes because I made a page for it. Sorry, I'm
here.
Hello. I had a bit of sound trouble there.
Sorry, James, could you repeat what you were saying? Because I completely missed it.
I don't think it was me that speaking.
Was it? Sorry, who was talking? Was it Luke? I'm terrible.
Yeah,
I think it was Luke. Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. Could you repeat what you were saying?
No problem.
I totally missed it.
Oh, I think it's comicsgenesis.com/smuff, but I could be wrong about the address.
I've got it, drunkduck.com/smuff.
Oh, drunkduck.
And it's just
What are people's opinions on starting out with drunkduck or comic press? Because I have to say, I read about 60 comics, and none of them are on one of these free hosting sites, which may be indicative of my prejudices, or maybe that's actually common thing.
I have seen some very good comics on.
I can't hear you.
So I have seen some very good comics on Comic Genesis, but not for a while. And I would be very wary of starting with any of these companies unless you've read the small print and understand. I think some of them, at least some of them, maybe all of them, claim some form of ownership over your stuff for marketing purposes, and I would be wary on finding out how far that extends. For example, if you're still on their site when someone comes along and says, can we make a film of your comic? Do they get a share of that? So I'd be very wary of it, especially since it's so easy to set up your own site again. Buy yourself a domain, most of them come with web hosting, stick WordPress on it, and there you go.
Yeah, I'd go with that now. I think it's about 4 or 5 years ago, it was quite difficult to set up your own website.
It certainly was.
But I think it's become a lot easier.
Definitely.
I think one of the advantages of DrunkDuck and the like is that there's often a community already there. But I think one of the problems with it is that you can only really build up from within that community. Because if I want to read a DrunkDuck comic and want to comment on it, then I would actually have to have a DrunkDuck account in order to go in and place a comment, and I don't really want to sign up with an account just to leave a comment on on a comic that I like.
Do they not have OpenID?
To be honest, I'm not 100% certain. I thought that you had to log in.
On DrunkDuck, you do have to be a registered member, yeah.
Good grief. No wonder it's so insular. I thought they had OpenID these days. Because then you can just sign in with your Gmail account or whatever. That would have been much... I don't think that would actually open their community up a lot more if they started embracing that.
Right. Well, I know that... I'm not sure how it works, but there's a site called Comic Dish or Comics Dish.
I don't know
if anyone can register or not, but they don't require you to sign up to leave comments on their comics.
Ah, right.
It's quite good. But I do think that... having your own website, at least your own domain, is a really, really good idea. But I do have to add the caveat that if you can't, comic specific sites that were built for comics like Drunk Duck, Comic Genesis, Comicsish, whatever, are infinitely better than Blogger, WordPress without a Comic Press theme, any other kind of blogging software, or not, like websites, where you have to click on the images to enlarge them so you can read them.
They're terrible. Or people used to put just a MySpace page, and they would just put all their comics on a MySpace page.
I have to admit, yeah, if I'm having to click to...
I saw comic ones on Freewebs. Oh.
On where?
Freewebs.
I don't think I've ever been there. I've heard of it, but I've never been in on... What is it?
It's basically you can get a free website, but it says that you can customize it, but it is not a comic-appropriate web host. Let's just say that. Not even a little bit.
Oh, wow. But, yeah, any site where I have to click on the picture and to it, and then click again because I have to expand it because Firefox will shrink it down to fit on the page, and then have to go out of that, click find the next one and click on it again, it takes too long, it breaks the flow, and then I'm not interested. I don't know about anyone else, but if I have to break the flow of your story to just read your story, then it's not really conducive to me sticking around.
Absolutely. I think that would be my golden rule to starting a webcomic, is to have a simple, functional site. Having a bad site or a site that is difficult to navigate is prohibitive to building a readership. It's just not going to happen because people don't care. People don't care if you've got a new comic that they've never read and they click on and they either have to click from the homepage to get to it or they need to click to enlarge it. Nobody cares. They haven't read your comic and they're not going
to
read your comic. And that's actually what it's absolutely true.
Yeah. It's just a question of two or three clicks. It's just that you've just got to measure it in terms of clicks and scrolls, and it's really only a few seconds that you can get between that makes a difference between if somebody stays on or somebody just disappears off. I know I do it when I sort of I'm stumbling through the internet. Sometimes if it's just too much effort, I'll just go somewhere else. And looking back, it makes me feel very like a very bad person, but I don't think it's that uncommon.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. If it's too much effort, people shouldn't have to try to read your comic. They shouldn't have to put in any effort. It should just happen, you know?
But that's it, exactly. Effectively, what you're doing is you're out in the street trying to entertain people, and if you're making it hard for them to notice you or see what you're doing or even care, then they're going to walk past. And that's pretty much the internet. They'll go in elsewhere because they know they can get it easier.
Yes, exactly. It's like, imagine if you were a busker on the street. You should just play to the people. You shouldn't stand inside a tent that they have to solve a Rubik's Cube in order to enter. You know? Make it straightforward and simple. Have forward, back, next, and most recent buttons. Oh god, it's so easy. Just do it.
You know that Rubik's Cube tent idea? I bet if you marketed it as performance art, you could get a grant to do it.
Oh, there's probably somebody who did it in Edinburgh this year. It sounds like something that goes on the Edinburgh Festival. And the entire thing happens inside a balloon.
I want to see this now. Someone's going to do this.
You are listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. Stay tuned for more banter.
But anyway, we're on about starting comics, weren't we? What are our best tips that if we could only had one thing to say to someone who was wanting to start a comic, what would you say?
Well, I think I'd say to start with, make sure that you've got something like Google Analytics on your site straight away so that you can analyze right from the start what your traffic is going to be like, and things that we've talked about, like when people come in and they just leave straight away. That's your bounce rate on Google Analytics. And you know, it's really useful information that you cannot get unless you put it in right from the start. You'll never get your first week's statistics if you don't have it in right from the beginning. So I would say don't worry too much about the other mistakes. As long as you're going to make them and you're going to learn from them. But think about the things that you can't go back and do, basically.
That's a good idea, actually, yes. I'm just trying to think, do we have Google Analytics on Webcomics Company? I'd better check that out once I'm finished.
I suppose that my number one thing is twofold, or I suppose I have two that I think are equally important. Number one is, as I've already mentioned, the working site. Please have it. It's not difficult to go and sign up for an account on one of these comic hosts, and most of them are fairly acceptable. The second one is make your comic. Make it as much as you can. Try to, you know, there's no point in having all the other stuff right if you don't make your comic. And I know I fell prey to this, you know, it'd be like, oh, sorry there's no comic this week, guys, but I made a new website for it to look at the old ones in. Well, that's kind of cool. It's not as good as getting a new update. So they're my two. Make your comic, put it on a site that works.
Okay. Yeah, my tip is going to be sort of an expansion on your second point there, Luke. My tip is going to be get a buffer. Work out how fast you can make your comics. And then before you start, have about 2 weeks worth ahead and just try and keep that as your goal. This is incredibly rich coming from me because right now, recording on Sunday, I don't have any comics inked, but it is times when I have a buffer. It just makes comics so much better. And sometimes if I'm drawing and I think this needs to be more detailed, but I know that I don't have to finish it by midnight that night, I can do it so much better. And it reduces some of the stress of having a webcomic if you have a few just... you're just working as far ahead, so if something comes up in the real world that stops you producing a comic, it's not the end of the world for your comic. I think there are quite a few very new comics starting out where people put them up as soon as they go. They have a planned update schedule, but then they realize they can't keep it up after sometimes just a few weeks, and they miss one update and stop. For some people... I think this is more common these days, don't have a regular schedule and just put things up as they come. And if that's better for your life, then I would suggest that people do that instead of trying to force themselves into an update schedule. Just work out an update schedule that works and keep a buffer. That's me.
That's a good point, actually. It comes into what I was going to say, which is don't bite off more than you can chew. If you're a slow drawer and you don't have a huge amount of ideas, don't try for a daily schedule straight away. You can build up to it. You can also reduce the schedule that you've decided on. For example, if you say, right, for the next few weeks, I'm going to have to do 3 updates a week instead of 5, because I've got a lot of things coming up, and unfortunately we've run out of buffer because I've been dealing with other things. Never push yourself too much, because you will get faster as you practice. You'll get really good at what you're drawing, and then you'll get really good at drawing that good fast. And then, yeah, sure, you're going to have no problem getting 5 updates a week, but if you haven't got to that level yet because you haven't quite gotten the amount of practice, don't worry about it. Reduce the amount of updates you have so that you don't fall behind and then get demoralized.
Maybe we should just put one point is do try and enjoy it. I think some of the things we've done have made the whole business sound like a bit of a chore. And it shouldn't be, because this is probably for all of us, it's a hobby and something we do because we love it, rather than something we are forced to do.
Definitely.
Yeah. There's no person standing behind you with a pitchfork saying, you have to draw comics or I'm going to stab you with this pitchfork. It doesn't happen. It's not a job. It's something you do because you like doing it.
That's true. I think, though, at the same time, you should at least try. I mean, if you set up an update schedule, and I can't believe I'm the one saying this, because I am horrible at keeping my update schedule. But, you know, if you say to people, there is going to be a new comic up tomorrow, you know, don't stress out about it, but try to have it up tomorrow. Because I know this is me speaking as a reader rather than a creator, because as a creator, I am very guilty of this. But as a reader, I do find it not fun to be lied to via the internet.
Yeah, I think I've only missed a couple of updates since, but I've always tried to give it at least 24 hours notice. Just, sorry guys, things have come up. There isn't an update today. I think that's possibly keeps you on the right side of internet hate.
It's true. Speaking as someone who's missed about 400 updates, if you're going to promise something, do it. Don't promise until you're at the point where you actually know you can achieve it. So, yeah, I'm going to have a comic up tomorrow, and then I can see your site where you've still got the post up that says you're going to have a comic tomorrow, and it's now the day after tomorrow, and it's still not there. Well, that's not really instilling me with confidence to come back. So
sometimes that is how a comic ends as well. It just has the final message post coming a bit late this time or something.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Or the dreaded, I'll be back after the exams.
Yeah.
No, you won't. You'll be drunk after the exams.
Oh, there is a comic that I follow that just did that last month, and it was like, I'm taking a bit of a break. The next post is coming on the 23rd of August. I promise I won't disappear and stop updating for months. And it still says that.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, well, I've currently got a 3-month buffer going at the moment.
That is majorly impressive. I mean,
so the next it amused me the fact that the next page that I have to draw will actually be posted in 2011. So
oh my god.
are those actually queued up in your content management system now?
Yeah, they are.
So
yeah,
that if you were hit by a bus, it would actually continue to you'd continue to update from beyond the grave.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, probably on the last one that I post, just sort of put a kind of strange wooing noise or something.
That's a weird that thing is to think about, actually. If your buffer is online, and then for some reason you pop your clogs, you're still going to be posting. That's a weird kind of temporary immortality. I've defied death to bring you comics. See how much I love you, readers. Oh, that's a horrible thing to think about.
Am I imagining this change? Did you say that you had your first comic so that it like updates every year or something? Am I imagining that?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, I do. Yeah, the Dr. Sheep and the Aardvark. Yeah, when I finish the comic, at the beginning of every year, I reschedule them so that they run again. So it just sort of cycles through them again. So, yeah, I suppose they would be posting as well after I've been hit by this bus. I'm going to have to look out for buses, I think.
Just don't go outside. It's too dangerous. How many, 3 months for a buffer? Good grief. I haven't had that since I started all over the house.
I think I just need to get out more.
Well, to be honest,
one of the things that helped me when I started out putting my comics online is that I'd been doing it for the little college university paper for about a year. So I had a fairly large volume of stuff that I could put up. And it just sort of helped me sort of ease into workout. I started putting them up sort of 5 times a week, and then I realized, no, there's no way I could actually draw things at this rate. So I bumped it down to three a week at the time. And I built a small audience then. Mostly people from the webcomic list, I think, was the main source of traffic back then. And yeah, so having a buffer when you start is very useful.
It's brilliant.
It just helps you work out.
I'll tell you that The one thing I find a bit strange about having this huge buffer is that the posts that are going up just now, obviously I drew them quite a while ago, so there is a wee bit of a disconnect, I have to say, between what's up at the moment and what I'm currently working on. I'm onto a whole different story now, for example. So although I'm posting the comics, you know, from three months ago, I'm still writing the blog post for it as of like today. So I'm having to sort of write a post saying, yeah, and this is what I was thinking when I was drawing this comic, and cast my mind back to what was happening. So.
Wow, that's a good point, actually. I haven't had a buffer, like I said, since I started all over the house, because I tend to use them all up. But I produced the first 50 episodes of All Over the House as a package to try and send to syndicates before I realised that syndicates were pretty much dead. And I put them all up, twice a week updates, so they lasted for about 5 months. And it was really good time for me to practice and get better with the comic. But my biggest temptation now with the buffer was to think, well, it's not quite ready yet. I won't update this with this new one because I don't think it looks quite right. And then I ended up just fiddling with them all until the buffer was gone and I had to really push myself. How do you get past the temptation to slack off effectively?
I guess it's because I sort of write the scripts way in advance as well, so I always have something that I'm working on, I guess, that I just want the story to be further on than it currently is. I still feel like it's quite a new comic, so I want it to be a more established thing, and I know I'll never get to that stage if I don't just keep going at it, basically.
I like that. You've got a goal and you're working toward it. I think that's an essential part of comics as well, especially if you're doing a story one, to know where it's going and really want to actually get there. I don't have with All Over the House because it's just jokes. But I can see how it will be a very good motivating factor.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love planning it out. I think that's, for me, probably my favourite stage is actually sort of working out what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, you know, planning and surprises and things for down the road. So I suppose the motivation for me is that I want that payoff to come, so I'm constantly kind of working towards it.
Do you have an overarching story, James, in which goes through the entire... Do you know how it actually ends?
Basically the first three stories that I'm on, story three is currently being displayed at the moment, and I decided that I was going to make it that the first three stories would kind of raise a lot of questions, and then from that point on they'll gradually be sort of answered from, you know, the next story onwards. It's quite interesting. I know how all the stories are going to end, but they're not going to all end at the same time. They're going to gradually, one will finish and it'll probably raise a question that will come up again in another one, and so on and so on. So
have you ever considered writing for Lost?
I absolutely love Lost.
I've never seen it.
What?
I don't watch television.
But buy the box set and just lock yourself away for a summer or something.
I'm not sure about that, but it's true, I don't watch television. The only thing I actually watch is Doctor Who, and to be honest, I get most of those on DVD.
You can't go wrong with Doctor Who, of course. So
you can if Russell Davies is right. I can't stand that guy. He wasn't good on children's television, he wasn't good on Doctor Who, and he's still getting more jobs than I have, and it's really, really annoying. There may be a bit of jealousy in that.
So, James, when you were setting up your buffer, did you have it all ready? Were you 3 months ahead before you started posting your comic online, or did you slowly build it up as you went along?
I was 1 month ahead when I started, and then gradually I've increased it to the 3 months it's at the moment. And my dream is to get to the 4 month stage, because that'll be when I've got basically a complete story ahead of where I'm at the moment on the site. Because what I'm wanting to do with the the business plan for it is that as each story is being told, I want to have something up there that says, you can either come back and see how the story unfolds, or you can download the PDF, you know, for £2 or something, and then you'll get this complete story. So I kind of thought that might be an interesting way I could try and monetize the comic.
That's a good idea. I like that. I think it might take me about a week to get up to a 4-month buffer, though. Good grief. How fast do you draw your comics?
Well, I suppose maybe I can do about 3 a week, but I post 2 a week. I guess there's quite a fair bit of work goes into it, but maybe each page takes... Oh, it's so difficult to break it down. The drawing stage, I suppose, altogether comes to about 4 to 6 hours or something, and then there's layout and scripting and things like that. But, yeah, maybe about 8 hours for each page.
Of course, you're doing the full page, aren't you? It takes some... I found that, actually, weirdly enough, I can do a full page of maybe 6 or 7 panels in about 6 hours, or a 3-panel strip in 2 hours. Even though it's only 4 panels less, it takes like a third of the time.
Yeah, well, I found that as well. And in fact, when I'm doing it, I don't always do like one page together. I might take all the bits that are in the same scene. So I'll be using the same colour palette and all that kind of stuff. So I'll be colouring up panels from all sorts of different pages together sometimes, just because it means that I can, you know, speed up the process rather than do it as you would read it, basically.
That's an interesting
thing. I used to do that. That absolutely helps. It's so, so helpful. Of course, I've come to the point where I can't even keep up with my own update schedule. I had to change it down to 2 updates a week this weekend. But back with the old version, I used to do that. I would draw on all the characters for 3 pages and then all of the backgrounds for the 3 pages again. And it just sped it up so much.
Yeah, it's almost like a kind of production line you end up having just for your own kind of work. But yeah, it's a good way to do it, definitely.
Actually, speaking of production, that's pretty much how I do it. I could do it entire weeks all over the house in a day if I sketch them all and then ink them all and then get on with colouring and lettering. And I found that that's much, much quicker to do than if I were to sit down, sketch, scan, ink, colour, letter, and then repeat the process, because you're not having to stop and change basically your thought pattern. Just draw the
pages. That definitely,
I'm actually kind of the exact opposite of that, and it may be one of the reasons why I can't keep up with my update schedule. But I always have to have another project open, because when I'm working on a page, I tend to hit like a lot of blocks, like creatively. So I'll come to a certain part and I just can't draw right. It doesn't look right. So I tend to switch between 2 different projects. That's why I tend to have, at the same time I'm making my updates to the website, I'm either doing a mini comic or I'm doing, you know, a poster or something. I have to be working on 2 things at once. It's kind of just a bizarre, because otherwise I get to a part and I just spend like 15 minutes trying to draw someone's arm, and it's just totally not productive.
It's almost like you would be sort of procrastinating on 2 projects, but offsetting it against each other.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, procrastination for the win.
I wasted... So there was a new free game on the iPhone yesterday. It just used up all of my time yesterday, which is a terrible, terrible thing. It's my sort of kryptonite. It's not particularly good games on not particularly good games devices. We have like an Xbox 360 and a Wii downstairs, yet it's just little things on my iPhone which consumes all of my time for procrastination.
But there's an interesting point. They're in another room. Whereas your iPhone, I'm assuming you would keep it on you all the time. So it's like the proximity, because I know if I've got any kind of game in my office, I will not do any work that day. But if I've got Rock Band downstairs that I adore, and I've just been, my wife got me Rock Band 2 as a birthday present, and I was playing that all the time when I was downstairs, but the moment I came up to the office to do some work, I was like, right, I'm not near it. I'd have to go and exert effort to get back to that thing in order to enjoy it, so I might as well stay here and finish the comic.
It was a kind of stressful week in my day job, so it was nice. I think it was nice to just do something completely mindless for a day. Comics aren't quite mindless enough for me.
I suppose it is a good point, though, to say that it's worth taking a break from your comic every now and again. you do need to sort of recharge the batteries and all that.
I know that feeling. Take a break every hour or two, otherwise you can't walk when you finish your comics. I found the other day, I was trying to get through a huge amount of comics that I had time to write an assignment for my law course. And after I'd finished them all, I couldn't walk because I'd been sat in the same position for about 8 hours.
So, have you ever done a 24-hour comic, Zoe?
No, I'm not allowed. I wouldn't. Either Jen would come in and tell me to do something else, or the cat would come in and steal all my papers. That's another thing, a good top tip for you. Don't let pets into your studio. Because the amount of times that I'll turn around to say, what's that noise? And it turns out the cat is eating something that I've just drawn because I'm getting more attention than her. It's really not worth it.
I know exactly where you're coming from. I've got a basket here that's got all my original artwork in it, and baskets and cats, you know, it just sort of leads to a cat sleeping on your artworks.
Oh, it's a brilliant anecdote I heard once. There was this guy working for 2000 AD doing artwork, and he was getting increasingly late, and the project was coming to the point where they really needed these pictures because they had to print the comic. And they phoned him up and said, Where's this work? He said you're almost done. He said, I know, but I spent so much time finishing it that the cat peed into my all my paints. So now I'm having to buy new paints and do it all again. So, I don't believe you just sent the comic in. And he said, and it all smelled of cat pee.
Oh, man.
They printed it anyway.
Right.
So I thought that was just so funny, just to think, if anyone buys that original art, it's going to stink.
should we leave that as our final top tip? Don't make your comics out of cat pee. If there's one thing people take home from this podcast, don't make comics out of cat pee.
Definitely.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, I was just going to say, we've hit the hour mark, so are we wanting to continue, or shall we wrap this up for this week?
I think I said almost everything I wanted to say. So, yeah. Do we have an email address now for people to send questions?
We do. I'm trying to remember what it is. Oh, yes. It's mailbag@webcomics.co. Or you can also send us questions, comments, or whatever via the comments box on our website. If you go to www.webcomics.co and click on Contact Us, we have a nice little form for you to fill in, and then it goes through very quickly. So there you are, multiple lines of communication.
Excellent.
Okay, well, if that's everything, shall we sign off?
Okay.
Okay, alphabetical order again, guys.
All right. Thanks for listening. My name's James Spence from the comic Girls in Space at girlsinspace.co.uk.
And I'm Luke Healy from the comic Swaninook at swaninook.com.
I'm Luke Searle from the comic lukesearle.com.
And I'm Zoe Kirk Robinson from The Life of Nobty Mouse at nobmouse.net, All Over the House at alloverthehouse.net, and The Webcomic Builder at webcomicbuilder.com. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Huzzah.
And all the music goes through there.
I hope we didn't put off any people who were trying to want to start a webcomic.
I think if anything that they've taken away from this one, it'll be just do it because it's great, and you'll end up with the weird mindset that we've all got too. So it's a bonus.
If Luke Searle can do it with his clear problems, then I'm sure that I can.
And on that note, I'll stop recording.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.